Good morning. Well, this is the end. This is the end. I wanted to read something. I was reading this morning in Proverbs. Just listen to what it says. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it. I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, your need like an armed man. I just think how sad it must be to be in a place like that, hopelessness into a vineyard in such disarray and with no loving father to prune and to take care of. And this is not speaking of what we've looked at in John 15 this weekend of a father who tends his vineyard, who lovingly protects it and prunes and makes sure that it's in the best condition that it can be to bear the most fruit. So last night we looked at what it means to be in love with the Lord Jesus and the importance of love in our relationship with Him. If there's no love, the Bible says that everything else that we do is for nothing. It's worthless without love. Why was it important to love? Well, loving relationship leads to an obedient relationship. And an obedient relationship leads to an abiding relationship. And that abiding relationship leads to a fruitful relationship. And that's what we have seen in John 15, when the Lord Jesus sits and He talks with His disciples and He reveals to him what it is to be in His vineyard and to draw from His vine. And so once again, the question that we have is, well, how is it that we are to have a loving relationship with the Lord? How can we fall more deeply in love with our Savior and to grow in Him? How is this possible? I began to understand a little bit more about what we're going to be looking at when I was in high school. I was homeschooled. I mentioned that the other day, but I went and played public school sports, and so I got involved with these guys and found out that, I didn't talk like them. I didn't think like them all the time, and I began to think, I am a homeschooler. I'm very strange. But there was a certain girl in our class that all the guys liked, and she was beautiful. And you just knew it when she walked in the door. All the guys were starting to talk about her, and all the guys wanted to date her. All the guys wanted to ask her out to the dances. And I remember when I first started going, I saw her, and I thought, she's really pretty. But I talked to her a few times, just a few times, and it wasn't very long before I realized she's not that pretty. And I would talk to her some more. I'd see how she would behave on the bus. I'd see how she behaved as she was a team leader on the court and on the field, how she presented herself. And so as I grew to know this young girl, this young lady, and getting to know her a little bit, her history, her likes, her dislikes, pretty soon, as I began to understand her insides, her outside physical appearance literally began to change in my eyes, to the point where she wasn't as pretty as I... And I remember thinking about, how did I think this before? And I had never experienced this really before. But all these other guys, boy, they thought she was the hot stuff. And I remember talking, geez, do you talk to this girl? She's not that. She's not that good looking. And so then through this experience, I later on, you know, this happens, doesn't it? Relationship with someone's really interesting. I knew a guy, a good friend of mine, he loathed this one girl. This was a camp thing. They were always fighting. They were always bickering at each other. And they both, both their parents were full-time workers at the camp. And they bumped heads and they argued a lot. And they didn't like each other at all. And I was friends with both of them. And so I would hear both sides of this. And one year, you know, the end of the summer comes and we all go home. Spring comes. I would go down early to help break horses for the kids so that they could enjoy trail rides. And went down there, I noticed something very different about their relationship. Something happened over the winter, and I don't know how or what happened. But this young lady all of a sudden began to change in the eyes of this young man, and he began to see her a little differently, and he began to treat her a little differently. And he began to pursue her, and I think he just wore her down. I don't know. But she then, in return, began to view him a little differently, and they began to grow and blossom. And as I was down there, they were holding hands, and it was, I was just awestruck. Like, what in the world? They would go on their dates. You guys hated each other. Now they're married, and they have a lot of boys, some of you know who I'm talking about, and they love each other. They grew to know each other. And as they grew and learned more about each other, and they would sit and they would talk with each other, because there probably wasn't that many people to talk to at camp during the off season, and they would go out and go on dates, well, they just fell in love. And that's so true. When you begin to know someone, sometimes that happens. That's a good relationship. A relationship is always meant to exceed and go more and more and more. And it's the same thing when it comes to the vine and the branches in our relationship with the Lord. In order for us to be fruitful in our lives, to bear much fruit, abounding in fruit, we have to grow in our relationship with the Lord. We have to exceed in our love for the Lord. It can't just become idle and stale. It doesn't work that way. Because if your love is not growing for the Lord, if you're not growing in Him, and you've got it in neutral, you're in a world of hurt. This relationship is going down. Not only in the relationship between us and the Lord, but I have experienced in the last few years, you know, I'm getting older and all of my friends are getting married or are married. And many of them are now divorced already. What happened? What happened? Because they loved each other so much. I was at their weddings. I saw them take their vows. I saw their looks at each other. I saw their compassion and their heart that they had. What happened? How did they go from that to not being able to be with each other? Even in the midst of a family and children and breaking this all up and just going their separate ways, and some sitting there scratching their heads and thinking, where did it go wrong? Where did it go wrong? What happened? Their love, at some point in time, whether it was they had the idea of, well, we're married, and the love ends there, the growth ends here, this is the climax of, it doesn't happen that way. They had to continue to abound in love for each other. I think of a young man and a young woman, when they first get to know each other, the more that they get to know each other, either you don't like each other or you grow in love with each other. My grandparents on my mother's side, It was just a year ago on Thursday that my grandfather had passed away. And I can honestly say that I only knew them for the end of, you know, the last 30 years of their life. But it was a constant growth in their love relationship with each other. And when I was young, I used to think it was kind of gross and kind of weird. But at the end of their life, they were, you know, in their 80s, they were more kissy than they were when mom said when they were younger. Grandpa would write love notes to grandma every morning so that when she would wake up, because he got up before, and he'd leave that love note on her little bed, and she'd wake up and she'd read this love note. I read some of them. He would, at times, I would go stay with them, and Grandpa would go stand by the door, and he would begin to, you know, love on her and hug her and kiss her, and like he was leaving for something. And I remember asking several, "Grandpa, where are you going?" "I'm just going out to the garage for a little bit. I'll be back in." But there they are, hugging and kissing by the door, and like he's going to go on this long journey. "No, I'm just going to be out in the garage." They loved each other. Their love for each other, it never ceased to grow. Because my grandparents took the time and they sat with each other, and they continued to learn more about each other. And it was an amazing thing. They had been married for over 60 years, and they were still growing more deeply in love with each other. It's a phenomenon. But you know that we can have that same relationship with the Lord Jesus. And that's what it's meant. That's what it's meant to be, is to continue to grow, to be more like Him, to learn more of Him. And that's the truth that we see in as we abide in this vine and we learn from Him and draw from Him, it's just going to be a natural thing that we're going to fall more deeply in love with Him. And so today, the secret of loving the Lord Jesus is simply knowing Him. So what is your knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Are you growing daily in love with the Lord Jesus? And if you're not, and if you're suffering, and if you're wondering, I don't feel like I love the Lord, or I'm really struggling in this, maybe it's because you're having a hard time sitting at His feet and getting to know Him. Maybe you're not spending the efficient amount of time with Him. Maybe you're not walking in the day in ceaseless prayer and in His presence, talking with Him. Maybe you're not spending enough time in God's Word, dwelling on His truths and His promise, because I tell you what, it doesn't take too long as you sit in His Word and you meditate on His Word and you pray with Him that you begin to see His beauty. And the beautiful thing about the book of John is that it is so revealing of our Lord Jesus. It is His love letter to us in such a way that He is just pouring out Himself in the lives of His disciples of who He is. He longs so much for His disciples to know Him and to get to know Him. And little by little, as they walk together through life, the Lord Jesus just shows them a little bit more of who He is and a little bit more. And it's throughout. It goes clear through the end. It goes through the cross. It goes through the resurrection till He goes and He meets again with the disciples in a post-resurrection. And He is still revealing Himself to them. Even in the downs and the lows and the highs, He's revealing His beauty and His character to where the disciples, as they look on Him, you can see not only the Lord, the Savior's love for them, but you can, throughout the book of John, you can begin to see the love grow in the disciples' hearts for the Lord Jesus. That's why it was so painful at the cross. When they rejected Him, you could see the agony that they had because they had come to love this person, the Lord Jesus. And you can see also that the Lord is comforting them with the words of, "I am going away." And He knows it's going to be painful for them. But He says, listen, I'm going to send to you another, right? He comforts them because He knows that they have built this love relationship with each other. So can we have this? Yeah, we can have this relationship with Him. And it's vital. To know me is to love me. It's an old song. To know me is to love me. Murphy probably knows it. It's an old song. Yeah, it's an old rock and roll song. To know me is to love me. And that's the truth of the Lord Jesus. John 17, before we look at 15, I just want to read a few verses. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That they may know you. 2 Peter, I saw this verse, I believe, if I'm not wrong, on my way into the auditorium the other day. On the left, I'm trying to visualize, it was on the left-hand side right before you walked in. I think this was the verse. 2 Peter 3:18. "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then one last one. This is Paul in Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Are you experiencing the knowledge and the truth of who our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is? That each and every day you can know Him a little bit more. And as you grow in the knowledge of His beauty and of His grace and His love and His plan for our lives, you are going to find that your heart is going to begin to swell up with love and affection for this man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us. He loves us so much. So the answer to that question, how do we love Him? We get to know Him. And as we know Him, we fall more deeply in love with Him. The more that we know Him, and the more that we draw from Him and abide in Him, as we stay in Him, we're going to also become more like Him. It's just a natural thing. Salvation, this is a living thing, and it must grow. There's also something that I want you to be aware of as well, because you can come to a conference and you can come and you could listen to me preach from God's Word and you can grow in the knowledge of the Lord in that way, but it's not quite the same, I'm telling you. No one is going to grow closer to the Lord in the knowledge of Him than me, because I sat in God's Word and as I looked into John 15 and I prayed and I spent time with Him, and as God began to pour out into me the knowledge of what He wanted me to share and the truth of who He is, I was the recipient of that. I was the one that was clinging to the Lord in that relationship that I have with my Savior, and we were communing with one another and we grew closer to each other. And you can't experience that like I experienced that. You might be able to receive the message and hear it and grow from it, but it's not going to be the same as if you did it yourself. And you can see this in the life of Israel as well. They were more willing to hold on to the shirt tail of Moses and his blessing from the Lord rather than climbing up the mountain and going and being in the presence of God themselves. And that you and I have that privilege and that ability to go straight to the vine. You don't have to hold on to my ankles as I hold on to the vine and just receive the blessings that I've received and God working through me and you just say, hey, that's good enough for me, and you hold on, and I'm just going to take your leftovers, whatever, you know, that works for me. You can go through life like that. Or maybe you're doing that with your parents. Well, you godly parents, praise the Lord. But what about your personal relationship and walk with the Lord? You can't always just depend on your parents. What happens if they pass away? What happens if they move away? What happens if they go? Joash and Jehoiada is a beautiful picture of this in Scripture, where a young king has a mentor. And it says that Joash did what was right and in the sight of God all the days of Jehoiada. And when his mentor passed away and died, Jehoiada was a wise man that followed after the heart of God. And all those days, as Joash would follow and he would see this, he did what was right in the eyes of God. But when that was taken away, Joash fell. And he began to do the wrong things, and he began to follow the wrong people. Why? Because he didn't have a personal walk with the Lord. He didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. He didn't know him personally. He only knew him through the eyes and the experiences of this man, Jehoiada. And many of us, in the same way, we have those Jehoiadas in our lives. We have those Moseses in our lives. And we would rather just cling to their blessing that they're receiving from God and the knowledge and the relationship that they have with God, rather than going straight into the presence of God and being at His feet personally with Him. And there's no greater thing, let me tell you, than the spending time with Him, because He is a personal working God. He died for you personally. He redeemed you and He shed His blood for you personally. And He wants a relationship with you personally. He wants to speak with you. He wants to work through you personally. Just the same way as in John 15, he's talking individually to these disciples, and he's telling them, not just as a group, as a whole, that you would abide in the vine and trickle down. No, each and every one of you. It's true for each and every individual that we tap into and we abide in Him and we grow in the knowledge of Him together. God's Word tells us that we are to, as a group of believers in this setting, we come together and we grow in the knowledge of His love for us, the height, the depth, the length, the breadth, the love, that we might know His love. And that's true. We can do it together, but it needs to also be on an individual basis as well. So don't be a one to just miss out on this and say, you know what, the conference was good, the message was good, and that was good enough. That was not the purpose. The purpose of this is that you might take away then and go and grow in your personal relationship with God. This is not enough. It's not enough. Don't just hear my words. Don't just do that. Don't just look to Philemon or any. No, I want to point you to the Lord Jesus. And I want you to cling to Him and His words, because He's got a plan for each and every one of you. There's a vine, and you're a branch. And there is fruit in which He wants to bear through you. Not the fruit that He's working in my life. No, He has a special fruit for you. Because the people that are around you, the place that He has you, it's the fruit that they need. It's the fruit that they need to eat from. Not from where back in Iowa where I'm from. God's producing fruit through my life, because that's the fruit that is needed specifically in that area. And that's the way He works. He has a plan and He has a purpose for each and every one of us. Don't miss out on this. Don't be satisfied with a second-hand relationship with God. You need a first-hand relationship with God. Here are just a few principles when it comes to knowing God. I just want to throw some of these out. And there's just three of them. And you're going to find them. Let me read first where I'm getting this knowledge. Knowing is loving. John 15, I'll just read 9 through 17. Here we see that the relationship that the Lord Jesus is presenting to His disciples is this of a friend. And what is a friend? That you would grow in the knowledge of your friend. Why do you have friends? Well, you like them because you get to know them. And this is the relationship that we have with our Savior, is that He says, that you're my friend. And he's inviting us into this to get to know him as a friend. It's beautiful. Starting in verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that you may, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. You are my friend, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. No longer do I call you a servant, but I call you a friend. Simply saying, you're my friend because I'm revealing these things to you. You don't reveal truths about yourself to a servant. You don't give plans. You don't give these. And why is he revealing plans to the disciples? Why is he revealing the truth of who he is and the Father and his relationship with his Father and his relationship? Because they're friends. He wants them to grow in knowledge of who he is. He wants them to fall more deeply in love with him. And that's the idea that we get of knowing him is to love him. And that's the secret of loving him, is knowing him. Now, when it comes to then this growing in him, I can't help but think of Romans 12, and I just want to look at a few principles in Romans 12, very familiar verses, but just practically, I just want to leave you with these three things. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body is a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The first thing that we see here is that God, in through his words, desires that we give him our body. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. So when you wake up in the morning, give God your body. Give him yourself. And this works out very practically because you're going to find that your body is weak and tired, and there are a lot of things that can get in the way. And I think of when the Lord was convicting me with this about having a quiet time, sleep really got in the way. It was either sleep in and eat breakfast and run out the door, or I get up, have a quiet time, and then go to work. And I remember this battle of eating. And I remember thinking and reading this and would present my body a living sacrifice. And I said, Lord, you'll give me the strength. So I set the alarm for an hour earlier, and I began to discipline myself to get up. And I just committed myself to giving my body at the very beginning, just to give that time to the Lord. Weariness or not, I was going to get up and I was going to study and I was going to spend some time with the Lord. Very practically, in the morning, I just sit at the feet of the Lord. And I read for the just to be in his presence. And I don't study for speaking or for lessons or in that morning time. I am just spending time with my Savior, the Lord. And it's so precious to him. It's so precious to him that he longs for that as well. We can become so busy with service that we miss out on the presence of God. And you see this with Mary and Martha, and how he would say, Martha, Martha, you've missed it. Mary has chosen the better. She has sat at my feet. She longed to get to know the Lord. She wanted to know about him, and she just sat at his feet. And that's the picture, and that's all I want to do in the morning. I just want to sit at his feet. Sometimes you just read and then you sit in quietness. I live out in the middle of nowhere, literally. And I love it. Because I can go anywhere on this property, and there's no one there. There's no distractions. Maybe a few cows. But I can just go sit in quietness with the Lord. I don't know how you city folks can do that. Maybe there's a closet or something you can... It wouldn't work for me. I don't know. But I have to be alone with the Lord, and I love those precious moments. Why is this important? Well, I tell you what, if I don't have that time with the Lord in the morning, it affects the rest of my day. And sin can creep in, and bad attitudes, and all these things, and I can feel it. And not only that, but the guys I work with, they see it. My brother-in-law, he's a believer, and he's really good. He knows exactly when I did not spend an efficient amount of time with the Lord that morning. And we have that beautiful picture of what we heard this morning with Moses coming down and his face shining. That's what happens when you spend time with the Lord, is you draw from him and you spend time in that vine, and he begins to bear that fruit in your life so that you can go out and you can distribute that fruit. If you don't spend time with the Lord and you don't grow in knowledge of him and you're not bearing that fruit, you are barren that day, and you feel it, and everyone around you feels it. They're not receiving it, and it's a horrible thing. So the step one is just when you get, you just say, I want to present my body a living sacrifice. I don't know what that looks for you, like for you in your life, but are you being a living sacrifice for the Lord? Secondly, give God your mind. Give God your mind. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to be renewed daily, each and every day. And that's what happens when we spend time with the Lord, is that our mind is being renewed daily. Are our minds set on the Lord and his plans for us? He wants to direct our minds and our thoughts. And I love the time in God's Word to where when you read through God's Word, you just let him, if you get stuck on a passage, you just spend time. I got to take small bites when I spend time with the Lord. Otherwise, there's too much. And so you spend time with God, you pray through it, you let him direct your mind. Our minds are so weak. And my mind needs to be stayed on him. They need to be stayed on him. The last thing is that give your will to the Lord. We looked at this yesterday about obedience, but once again, he reminds us here in Romans 12 that we give our mind to him, that he says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to be one to be living and working in the will of God, you can't do it apart from him. Prayer is simply this reliance on the Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. You remember the Lord in the garden as he prayed and he spent time with his Father. He would pray and he gave his will to the Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. I said that was the last one, but it wasn't. This is the last one. Give your heart to the Lord. Each and every day, you not only give your body, your mind, your will, but you give your heart to the Lord. Would you give him your desires and your passions? The things that you long for and you say, Lord, do with these things that you want. You set your affection on him, not things of this earth. And you love him. You love him. Obedience speaks of giving him our will. We have talked about these things all week. Loving him speaks of giving him our hearts before him. And then knowing him speaks of giving our minds to him. And we see that in Romans 12, to give him our will, our hearts, and our minds, to be obedient, loving, and then knowing him. There are a few warnings that I want to leave you with before we close. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Catch us the foxes, that little foxes that spoil the vines, for our grapes have tender grapes. Our vines have tender grapes. Catch the foxes. Listen, when you begin to bear fruit, and you're doing these steps in your life, and maybe you come to a point, I love this layout in John 15 because I continue to use it daily. If my life is, I'm not seeing the fruit that I should, I always go to, am I obedient? Am I loving? Am I knowing him? Am I abiding him? Where is the blockage? Where am I lacking? But when you're bearing fruit, you have to beware that there are foxes that are coming in seeking to steal that fruit from you. Just like Song of Solomon says, catch us the foxes. Sin that begins to creep in your life and my life. We need to be aware of this. We need to be aware that there is one who is seeking to steal our life. John 10:10. To ruin that, to take that fruit. He wants to catch us off guard. And so he sends these foxes in. And so we need to be aware of the foxes that might be in our lives. We need to be in constant relationship with the Lord and asking him to reveal these things to us about these foxes that come in, little foxes that spoil the vines. They start out little, the little foxes, but then they grow. I once heard of a man that walked clear across America. And it was an amazing feat. And at the end of this amazing hike, they asked him, what was the hardest thing that you had to deal with? And he said, well, there's a lot of things. I was chased by dogs. I was chased by bears. I had people try to rob me. He had all these things. Near-death experience. He was stabbed like 3 times. All these things that had happened to him. And you know what the worst thing that he said irritated him more than anything? He said, sand in my shoes. Sand in my shoes. He said, it could ruin me. And I had to be very careful. Because if I didn't take care of the sand in my shoes, it would rub and rub and rub till I had sores. And those sores would get worse and worse and worse to where I couldn't walk. He said, I could handle the dogs and I could handle the bears and I could handle these things, but the sand in my shoes, such an irritation. And it speaks of our walk in this life is that we need to be very, very aware of the sand in our shoes and willing to stop and to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, confessing those sins quickly, those little foxes. They're sly little things. Be aware of them. One other thing, Revelation Chapter 14. If you ever have time, go through and look at all the different pictures and events that happen with vineyards, vines, and branches. There are a ton. And it's really cool. And I don't have time. I wish I did. But here's just one of those examples of this. Revelation 14. I'll start reading in verse 17. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud voice, cried to him, who has a sharp sickle? Saying, thrust it, your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle. For 1,000 sickle, 104 longs. furlongs. This is a picture of the end times, and it shows us a picture that, and it also points us to the truth and the importance that when the Lord Jesus says, "I am the true vine, I am the true vine." And if there's a true vine, then there's a false vine. And we have that picture here of that false vine. It says the vine of the earth. The vine of the earth. Listen, Satan is a mimicker, and he's always mimicking the Lord Jesus. And so if the Lord Jesus is a vine, Satan also wants to be a vine. This is the vine of the earth. And so many have tapped into this vine. And I just want to warn that if there is anyone here that has not yet put their trust in the Lord Jesus, you are not a vine of the Lord, a branch of the Lord Jesus, but you are a branch of this vine. And the fruit that is being born is going to be crushed. It's all going to be put in this wine press, and it is going to feel the wrath of God. The wrath of God has already been judged on the cross on his Son, the Lord Jesus. It's been paid for. And the Lord Jesus says, trust, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Accept that free gift. It's by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift. It's the grace of God. And just a forewarning, if you have not yet taken that step into faith and to enter into that beautiful vineyard of the Lord Jesus and his Father, and that loving relationship, to be a part of it, to grow in him, to be used of him, to bear his fruit for his purposes and for his glory, to be involved in that beautiful relationship, then you are connected to the vine of the earth, which will one day receive the wrath of God, and you will be pressed and judged for all of eternity. Just a warning. You don't have to go there. So listen, when we grow in knowledge of our Lord, we fall more deeply in love with him, which leads us to obedience, which leads us to abiding and bearing fruit. I want you guys to be fruitful. I long for you guys to be fruitful. I long for myself to be fruitful. My grandfather, in his at the end of his days, he could not read Scripture himself any longer. His eyes were so bad, he actually couldn't even open his eyes. He had some condition that his eyelids would close, and any time we would come in, he would have to physically lift his eyelids to see who it was. Oh, Philemon. And but he longed to spend that time with the Lord. It was so hard for him at the end of his life that he couldn't read Scripture. If he ever held the Bible, you would see that not only could he not hold the Bible and hold his eyes, but he was so shaky, and he couldn't read it. And so we would go over there, and we would read Scripture to him. And it was precious. He enjoyed it. But it wasn't the same for my grandpa. It wasn't personal. He missed that personal time alone with the Lord, where he could just sit and be in the presence of God. And I asked my grandpa, because you could just see the love that he had for the Savior, his Savior. And I said, "Why do you love the Lord so much?" He says, "I've grown in love with him." And that's what we have here, is that he spent so much time with the Lord, he just loved his Savior, his Redeemer, because he grew in love with him. And that's my prayer, is that we would grow in love with one another and in the Lord, that we might be fruitful. One of my worst fears is that someday getting to heaven and seeing my Savior face to face, the one who gave himself for us, and not knowing him. What a shame. He's such a beautiful, wonderful Savior. We're going to end in a song, and I think it's beautiful. It's called Knowing Him. So, Tim, I'm going to close in prayer, and then you come up, and we'll sing the song. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much once again that we can know you. Lord, Paul would say it's all rubbish compared to the knowledge of you. To grow in the knowledge of you and your love and your plans for our lives, I just pray, Lord, that we would take these things to heart, that we would know what it means to be in a living relationship with you, Lord, because you have plans for us. Knowing that the fruit that is being produced in our life is not for our own selfish needs, but for those around us. that they might see your beauty, that they might eat from it. Lord, I just pray that we would be ones not to be served, but to serve. That as we look at your Savior, our Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus, that we would be more like him, and that our faces would shine with his radiance and his love and his joy that would abound in our lives simply because we abide in the vine. Lord, that vine is so precious to us. I pray that today we would cling to him and his truth and his promises. What a day that'll be when we see him face to face, to never be separated from him ever again. In all of glory, in perfection, in sinlessness. Lord, what a hope that we have. And it's all because of your Son, the Lord Jesus. It's all because of him. And we're thankful for him. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.